by demographic and statistics on our hiring practices. With this new statistical tool, we have learned that we have a long way to go. Over the last few years, our rates of workforce participation by African Americans, Latinos, and other ethnic and racial groups have not grown as quickly as we would like them to and are not reflecting the statistics in the general population. Bettering our record in this area will be a task for us in our recruiting efforts in this and the coming fiscal years. Part of our equity work involves focusing our investments to better serve areas of the city that have been historically underserved by our transportation programs. For example, as part of our Vision Zero initiative, we're investing $40 million in safety improvements on our high crash corridors. Of that, $22 million will be invested to make streets safer in communities of color and in neighborhoods with a significant number of low-income households. These are the areas that are highlighted in gray on your slide. Providing greater contracting opportunities.
I'm sorry, Director Treat. Did you say that's Build Portland resources going into those? I couldn't hear what you said right up front.
The $40 million is probably from a bunch of different buckets of funding, not just Build Portland.
Okay, thank you.
Are you bonding your cannabis tax money?
We have not decided to bond the cannabis money. We're debating the Build Portland, right?
Cannabis money is all going to the safe routes to school.
Yes. Jeremy Patton, Business Services Manager, PBOT. So right now the marijuana tax money is going around safer routes to schools and other safety projects, so we're not planning on bonding any of that money at this point.
Yeah, we might want to. But I think that's something to be discussed if we're going to get to zero by 2025, getting the improvements done sooner rather than later, and if we can assure you that you've got that consistent funding. It seems like we could. We discussed last year there was a capacity problem, right, in terms of. Yeah, okay.
Thank you. So providing greater contracting opportunities for MWESB firms is one of the citywide racial goals that we have taken very seriously. In line with this goal, we have increased our MWESB requirement on our PTE contracts from 20% to 30%. And currently, for last year, our MWESB utilization rate for PTE contracts was over 40%. Portland Progress is our strategic vision and work plan. The first iteration of the plan guided our work in 2015 and 16, and starting in January of this year, we began to implement the second iteration. As Portland grows and develops, we have to take proactive steps to meet the diverse mobility needs of all Portlanders. We also have to position PBOT as an organization that can deliver a top-notch transportation system that serves the region. Portland Progress 2 is made up of six strategic initiatives we are pursuing to meet these goals, and as you can see from the dashboard, we have made significant progress across all six strategies this year. For my last slide, I'd like to end on a happy note and highlight some of the projects that we completed this year that enhanced the quality of life in our neighborhoods, made our programs more accessible, and in general, improved the experience of Portlanders as they use our transportation system. We launched Adaptive Bike Town to open the unique bike town experience to cyclists with disabilities. We introduced Parking Kitty, our mobile payment app featuring a local cat wrapper to make it easier and more fun to park in Portland. We installed the historical Black Williams Project to honor the rich history of Portland's black community on North Williams Avenue. We encouraged Portland kids to ride their bikes to the library with our Bike to Books campaign. We celebrated the 10th birthday of the Portland Aerial Tram and of Sunday Parkways. We completed the 20s Neighborhood Greenway Project, which added 9 miles of north-south connection to our bike network. And we awarded $100,000 in small community grants to community organizations and neighborhood groups to support projects to make local streets safer, more attractive, and more livable. And with your continued support, I look forward to bringing new examples of community-enriching projects to you in 2019. And if I could, before we take questions, I have members of my Bureau Budget and Advisory Committee who would like to give a brief presentation. Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this is your time. Good morning and welcome. And if we could just get your names for the record when you start. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Tom Karwacki, and I'm with the Bureau Advisory and a Budget Committee. This is a committee made up of about 20 citizens and stakeholders from throughout the city. And we start our meetings. We're very encouraged with safety and equity as being Peabot's top priorities that the director has set. And we start each meeting with the naming of the people who have died on Portland streets, because safety is important. And to speak to Vision Zero, Arlene.
I'm Arlene Kimura. Good morning, everybody, or is it afternoon? I don't know. We want to thank you all, and I want to ask your support for Vision Zero. I understand that the CBO has made some recommendations to reduce the funding to Vision Zero, particularly with the Columbia Crossing at George Middle School, but also to cut out the lighting that is needed. The street lighting with the LED lighting has done a marvelous job of highlighting the roadbed, but crossing from the sidewalk is still dark, and I think that roadway design needs to include sidewalk redesign, including pedestrian-level streets, to get safety. We just lost another person on Division Street, our high-crash corridor. Previous to that, and about a month ago, we lost somebody on Stark, and while Powell is not a Peabot road, we also lost someone on Powell. Thank you. And I want to turn it over to Rob Martineau.
Thank you. Member Rob Martineau, a member of the BBAC. And we're clearly here to push back on some of the CBO's recommendations. That in one instance, it took a $41 million ask and turned it into $7.5 million. Certainly the ADA ramps is a big part of the Vision Zero and everything that needs to happen in Portland to increase mobility and transportation. And I would say a curb is often viewed as a brick wall for somebody with mobility challenges. It's just, it becomes not an option. And that doesn't always mean somebody in a wheelchair. It may mean a walker or just being able to step onto and off of a curb. The recommendation would stop 1,250 new corners in Portland from becoming ADA compliant. The greatest need for these improvements is in the areas that have been historically underserved, and we would like to see the investment in the community continue. The board also talked about the public perception after the passing of the gas tax to see a reduction in frontline services after an increase in revenue we don't think would be popular or in line with what the city of Portland voters have authorized. We just would like to encourage you to continue to work on the city's values and their goals around equity for all Portlanders and honor the commitment we have to Vision Zero. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we are also joined by Tony Lamb, our co-chair.
Thank you very much, and I would just like to second what's been said by my co-chair members, our desire for investment in Vision Zero, ADA curb ramps, and BES assisting with taking care of the street cleaning and maintenance.
Very good. Thank you, all of you, and we appreciate your service on the advisory committee. We know it's long hours. It's hard work. There's a lot of self-education that has to take place, and the pay is not very good. So thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's good material. Great. I'm using humor, and Commissioner Fish is heckling me over here. You already said that this morning.
All right. We're at your mercy.
All right.
Here.
Commissioner Fish.
Director Tweet, let me begin by saying on behalf of the Bureau of Environmental Services, we deeply appreciate the strengthened partnership between our two bureaus. And not only has that meant more LID projects that Dan has brought forward with creative funding, but it has also meant that we have done a better job coordinating capital construction projects with neighborhood business districts and others, and there's a plethora of benefits from us working closer together. So we appreciate that.
Thank you.
I want to briefly address the street sweeping issue because I've been on the council long enough now that it almost feels like Groundhog Day. It's budget time, and now we're talking street sweeping. The challenge that we have at BES is that with the completion of the big pipe, we're less reliant on street sweeping generally to protect watershed health. But Andrew has decreed that our two bureaus sit down and talk about how we might fund this, so we look forward to doing that. and we should do that probably sooner rather than later, just to figure out what a partnership would look like. I have two questions for you. One is, I was surprised by some of the pushback, some of it in the media, when we adopted the 20-mile-an-hour speed limit under our Vision Zero goals. And I guess I want to just give you a brief moment to address that. Some of the criticisms were that we essentially can't social engineer how fast people drive, or that basically 20 means people will drive at 25 or 30, or there isn't enough science to say that, you know, it's good. I mean, from my point of view, it was a very important step. Do you have any response to some of the criticisms we've received?
Sure. I mean, I think, you know, first of all, it's the right step for us to be taking. We're signaling to our community that we expect people to drive slower on our streets, and that our residential streets, especially where we have families with children, that it's really important for people to be driving slowly on those streets. Some of the criticism was also that the majority of serious injuries and fatalities aren't happening on those streets. To that, I say, that's great news, and we want it to remain that way. And lowering speed limits is a way to ensure that our streets are staying more livable for people. I mean, there's truth in how speeding tickets are issued. I mean, there has to be a certain threshold of going over the speed limit for the police to be able to hold up that ticket in a court of law. That's a simple fact. So if we're reducing the speed limit from 40 to 30 or 30 to 20 or anything, it's still reducing the amount of speed that people will be going on the street and lowering the threshold for the police to enforce. So it's absolutely the right thing to do, and I think we should continue on these efforts to try to get more authority on the arterials and on our highways. And then we still have the responsibility for the three things that are going to get people to slow down is education, engineering, and enforcement. We have to have that trifecta.
One of the things that I really enjoy when I occasionally drive, which is increasingly rare because I don't have a car, is when someone doesn't like the fact that I'm driving 20 miles an hour on one of those roads and guns it to get ahead to the next stop sign and beats me to the stop sign by about 3 seconds. I hope people feel very virtuous doing that. It's just ridiculous. We have a big conversation ahead of us about how we're going to continue to regulate TNCs. Now the additional complicating issue is whether we're going to have an autonomous vehicle future. Let's put autonomous vehicles off to the side because there's obviously a lot of regulatory work that has to be done. And let's talk about TNCs, in particular, whether we have the right mix of safety standards and what kind of robust community oversight we're going to have going forward. When can we expect PBOT to come back to council with to begin that conversation?
I believe we are looking at an April date to come back to council for an update with the TNC regulations. We can get back to you with a specific date after the... Oh, I'm sorry. Chris now says it's May. So we're looking at May.
Okay.
To
and
come to council.
Chris or Nick, depending on which guide you look at, because his picture has been substituted in for my picture in a local guide. Chris, is that going to be a time? It's hilarious, but I get a lot of compliments, and then they see me in person, and they go, oh, you were better looking in the notebook. Chris... Chris, will that be a time certain, hopefully like on an afternoon?
I believe we secured a time, yeah.
Okay, thanks very much.
Frida? Please.
The commissioners would have some more questions. First of all, as part of East Portland, we really want to thank you for all the investment you've done out there. There's still a lot of work to be done, as we know. And so I was kind of wondering, because I'm looking at your two maps here and trying to pull them together. Are you working with the East Portland and Motion Part 2, I guess we call it, since the one got through when you're picking this?
I think...
projects?
So I believe you're looking at the Fixing Our Streets map, is
I'm
that
just
correct?
There, you've got two
so
maps.
There's, yeah, there's so two things. Yes, we're working with East Portland in Motion. We have staff that are dedicated to working with them to evaluate projects, select projects, and everything for implementation in East Portland. for the specific map, if it's the Fixing Our Streets map, those projects are designated in an ordinance, so we can't change the projects. When we went to the ballot with the proposed gas tax increase, it included a list of projects that would be funded by it, so those are set and won't be changed.
So it was actual streets versus so much in sidewalks?
Well, there are a couple of buckets. Like, we put, you know, roughly $8 million in safe routes to school, so we can then invest it in schools throughout the city of Portland, and so much in sidewalks. And certainly East Portland is an area where we know there are a lot of missing sidewalks, but also Southwest, so we're investing based on that.
Because I'm looking at this issue of fixing your street map, and thank you. Now I can tell people that 136 is going to be repaved this year, because I get that question all the time. I go, I think at a meeting I saw it was on the list, but I can't say for sure. But when it comes to sidewalks and safe routes to school, I'm not seeing any projects in the what I would consider be between 120 second, 136, and Foster, and let's say Powell. And there is such a lack of sidewalks, and especially on Ramona and Holgate. Mm-hmm. There's three schools, and we're talking about shifting times and stuff, and we're actually constrained because there isn't sidewalks, and can the kids actually walk to school safely if it's dark? You see what I'm saying? So I'm just kind of curious. I didn't see any dots.
So this, I don't believe this map has all of the projects. I think this is street preservation and maintenance, and it's not the safe routes to school.
It's not on that map,
and there are certainly investments going into East Portland for sidewalks and access to David Douglas Park, Rose, Portland Public Schools, et cetera.
I assume there was. It was just, that's what I was saying. It didn't look like you have all your low income out here, and yet the projects didn't seem to be managed. If you could get me a list of those projects,
certainly.
Because being on the Douglas board, I am constantly asked about this, and it would be nice and easy if I could just send them a list and say, hey, this is what's being done.
We will do that.
But I do appreciate all the work transportation's done to increase their investment out there.
Thank you.
Rob?
Yeah, my first question is for Dr. Treat. On the slide for the capital set-aside requests for street lighting safety, it says there was a $600,000 request, which the CBO didn't recommend anything. I thought I sure heard you say $750,000, though, and that made me wonder if we were talking about something different than this capital set-aside.
I believe we had two separate requests.
Which one are you looking
There's
at?
There's a decision
There's
package.
One for $600,000 on slide 12, and then I heard Director Treat say $750,000, which was for something else.
There are two separate asks. We made an ask of the one-time general fund capital set-aside, and then we also, as a decision package for one-time general fund money available for all bureaus, made an additional ask for $750,000.
So they're two separate things.
Correct.
Okay. And my second question is for CBO. I noticed that at the end of the paragraph at page 3 where you said the city should investigate opportunities to assist the Bureau in scaling up its activities, that's at the long at the end of a write-up that's talking about capacity issues within the Bureau, which is the primary reason for, or at least a contributing factor to, the unspent money that's been allocated by Council over the last few years. And I'm just wondering, is your intent here is to say that they should be PBOT should be working with the OMF's Department of Human Resources to come up with some better strategies to make sure that they can recruit and hire into these positions, because it's been kind of an ongoing issue for them?
Yeah. Jessica Kennard, City Budget Office. Yeah, essentially, I think that there's probably a lot of different options. I think we flag in the review that this is not a problem that's unique to PBOT. Typically, whenever a city bureau has an influx in resources, there's a bit of a challenge or a lag in scaling up. So it wasn't anything specific. I know that actually the Bureau of Human Resources has a new dashboard up that's actually super informative, and I think it's really helping the bureau identify some areas. But it was more a broad statement. This is an issue that perhaps we as a city, if there are opportunities for more centralized assistance to help them scale up more rapidly, that we certainly in our office are interested in helping them achieve that.
Sorry, I was just going to go, but thank you, Jessica. Just going back to your question about capital set-aside, I also wanted to remind, you know, the Budget Committee that these capital set-aside programs do get ranked according to the criteria. And so we work with the capital asset managers to go through that ranking process. So when you say CBO recommendations, we are actually forwarding those recommendations. I think Director Tree pointed out that it's a valid point that some of the paving projects don't score as high. One of the things we've really worked on over the last few months and will continue to work on over the next year or so is doing some revisions to those criteria to make a little bit more of a robust business case around asset management, which may change some of those things. Again, the scoring criteria is very transparent, so we can sort of show, you know, what they're based on and its safety and its risk, et cetera. But I do just want to sort of note that these CBO recommendations are coming from that larger process. I did want to ask one question about the ADA ramps. Does PBOT know what the total request is here in dollar amount to fix all of the city's ADA ramps moving forward under the settlement agreement?
No, we don't. But the settlement that we reached with Creek is we're going to have to remediate all the ramps in the city within 12 years. So we estimate that's going to be anywhere from 1,200 to 1,500 ramps a year over the next 12 years.
But is it safe to say that that's tens of millions of dollars?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. We've already fixed all the cheap ones, too. So they're just going to...
Yeah. Because I do want to point out, just in terms of this, I mean, this is something that we struggle with as well. You know, of the capital set aside, PBOT is getting or recommended to get 68% of the Build Portland funding. I think it's around 60%. So significant resources, you know, going into these projects. Still not enough to take care of sort of the ADA ramps and other things. And so I think that's one of the big picture questions for council is just how much of the one time goes to transportation versus some of the other things in the city.
So I have a question on this. So if I understood the conversation correctly, you said that we are required by the federal government to install those ADA accessible ramps. Is that correct?
Correct.
So if we are required to do that, what assumption are we making by not providing an appropriate capital set-aside?
And just real quickly, the settlement agreement was just signed in the last week. So when the reviews were written a few weeks ago, we had not finished that settlement agreement. We noted that in our review as well.
Okay. And so then can you help me understand what does that mean in terms of us apparently not meeting the standard? What does it mean?
So the federal government recently revised the standards for ADA ramps.
Okay.
And it's been incredibly expensive for cities across the country to get up to speed. There's this organization, Creek, that has successfully sued LA, Denver, Seattle, many other jurisdictions, and they have gotten multi-million, even billion-dollar awards by going to court and litigating. We've learned the lesson from the other cities. When they came in and noticed us and said, we found 10,000 ramps in the city that aren't up to the new standards. Let's negotiate. And so instead of going to court, we've been working with them over the past year to come up with a settlement agreement to avoid the litigation and to come into compliance with the federal standard.
Will that extend the timeline then?
Nope. So we just negotiated over the past year. We negotiated a 12-year agreement with them to come into complete compliance throughout the city.
Okay. And so are you saying, Director Scott, that the CBO recommendation is not in accordance with that settlement agreement?
I would say, given the information we had at the time and looking at the $5 million that had been, you know, have been allocated and not spent, and knowing that this is a tens of millions of dollars problem, we did not recommend additional ADA funding. And again, given that the settlement hadn't been entered into, now that it has been, I think that is the question, you know, for your budget and for council is how much of this should be allocated now, and really what's the 12-year plan, right, for getting this done. And I will note, I mean, limited resources, so the more we do on ADA ramps, some other projects will need to come off the list.
Presumably the council has to adopt that settlement agreement, right?
Yes, you will.
So maybe at that time we ought to be looking at what are the possible sources for funding it and how we're going to do it, just like we did when we got to the Anderson settlement agreement. We had a kind of a concept of how we're going to pay for that.
Yeah, it would be useful to, as I work on my draft of the budget, to know what we are required to do. This morning we had a conversation about a significant investment that was a life safety investment. So I think we all know we're going to do that at, you know, at some level, and probably find some creative ways to finance it. These other types of settlement agreements and decrees and everything else need to be worked in as well. So I'm just putting that in the parking lot for you. Could I ask a question?
One quick question as far as numbers. We're looking at about from $66 to $123 million for the 12 years in order to address all of the ramps in the city.
Which is a lot.
How much?
So I assume if we're going to enter into an agreement, it's an agreement that we actually think we can live up to our end of the deal on.
$66 million.
$66 to $123 million is the range that we have a lot of assessment to do.
Just a question, because, okay, do you have to put the ramps if there's no sidewalks? Just because the feds and them get really weird requirements. And I happen to drive down Market, and there's four corners with nice ramps, but there's no sidewalks going to those ramps. So I'm kind of curious on this settlement.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah. Does that figure incorporate all corners?
I don't believe that if there's not a sidewalk that we have to put a curb ramp there. It's with existing sidewalks. There has to be a curb ramp, and I don't know what it, I'm imagining that's a development issue, but I don't know.
All right, and then I just had a very quick question. So under Build Oregon, there was $1 million set aside for Northwest 23rd, and then in your request around the capital set aside for Northwest 23rd for paving was $4.25 million. What is the difference? What would you do with the $1 million that came through Build Oregon?
Emily answered.
I'm sorry, Oregon Moving. I'm killing their branding here.
So for Northwest 23rd, are you referring?
And I'm sorry. Could you state your name for the
record? Oh, I'm sorry, Emily Tritch.
Thanks, Emily.
Peabot Asset Manager. Good afternoon. Are you referring to state funding?
The state funding, the Oregon Keep Oregon Moving in 2018, the House bill added $1 million investment for Northwest 23rd. And I'm just curious to know if you're estimating that the paving would cost $4.25 million, but the state only gave you $1 million. What do you do?
So Northwest 23rd between Lovejoy and Thurman requires a full rebuild. Anyone who's been on that segment knows that there's numerous deficiencies that the Bureau has been addressing for decades. We've been providing patch repairs, spot improvements, spending hundreds of thousands of dollars in temporary fixes. What we were proposing through Build Portland and through the capital set aside was a full facelift, a full rebuild, including a signal upgrade at 23rd and Thurman. If we only had $1 million, what we could do is provide additional grind and pave, which again is a temporary fix, given that there is steel rail underneath Northwest 23rd that must be removed in order to provide a more long-lasting solution. So the question is, do we provide a temporary fix that buys us five more years, a much better 5 years, to be honest, than what we have today? Or do we go whole hog and provide a more permanent fix that would really serve the community for a longer period?
Very good. Thank you for that clarification. Please, Commissioner Daly.
I just wanted to note the ADA ramp funding issue. Of course, it's of interest to me as a disability advocate and someone who's struggles to walk with my son in my own neighborhood. 12 years is an accelerated timeline. $66 million is a lot of money, but the ADA was passed in 1990, and I feel like this is an excellent example of how we really need to start dealing with our long-term liabilities and setting priorities, because we would be looking at less than $2.5 million a year if we'd started when we should have. Not to admonish anyone in this room, but I think a sidewalk ramp sounds unimportant to the average person who doesn't need it, but it's really impacts a lot of people's lives. I think 7% of our population has a significant mobility challenge. And if you're traveling on wheels, no ramp means either a dangerous maneuver to get off the curb, or it means you don't walk in those neighborhoods. And that has a real impact on people's quality of life and their health, et cetera. So I know it's not an exciting prospect to spend that kind of money, but it'll make our city so much more livable for a lot of people.
So I agree completely, and I guess my only request to CBO is long-term. It's somewhat concerning that something that we are required to do shows up as an optional add-on to the budget, when in fact, if we're entering, and Commissioner Fritz is correct, the council hasn't actually signed the agreement yet, but you know, let's do a thought exercise. If we do sign that agreement, we've committed ourselves to it, and therefore it should be built into the preliminary budget numbers. It should just be taken right off the top, this and whatever else we are required to do, rather than playing this game where we presume that we can take shortcuts on agreements that we've entered into.
Well, and to be clear, we're still obligated to make these improvements,
absolutely,
settlement or no settlement.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think that's exactly right. And I think now that there is a settlement agreement as part of the adoption of that agreement, and we are happy to help, you know, PBOT with this, is put together a funding plan that council commits to. And when a funding plan is in place, we certainly, you know, can allocate the needed resources every year. Just want to stress that things are moving as we sort of go through this process. So,
Commissioner Fritz?
Is there any gas tax money that was allocated to the ADA ramps?
Yes, we're currently using, like, when we build a project with any source of funding, if we're hitting the ramps, we're building it. So in addition to what we've asked through for the capital set aside, through Build Portland, through the state transportation package, through our own capital money, we're putting in roughly 750 ramps a year with existing funding and existing projects.
But specifically, is that an allowed use of the gas tax money? I know we had a long discussion about maintenance versus new stuff.
I don't think there was a specific bucket for ADA ramps, was there?
I don't think there was. No, not in the state package, but it is gas tax eligible because it was within the right-of-way. So, yes, it would be gas tax eligible.
And I forget how we I know we promised the voters a certain mix between maintenance and new projects. How do you prioritize each year on the project list?
For the Fixing Our Streets gas tax?
For the gas tax, right.
Those projects were set in charter. So I guess I don't understand what you're asking. I mean, there's a specific set of projects.
So the gas tax is for 4 years, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And we've basically, these are the projects are the projects, and there isn't any flexibility.
Correct.
If we were to renew it, we could potentially, that could be part of the funding solution.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Very good. Anybody? Frida?
This is more Powell Boulevard, I know it's the state, but it's also in this Keep Oregon movie funding. And I was told at one time, once that passed, there was some discussion of PBOT trying to get them to pass through the money so you could do the improvements versus the state. Has anything occurred on that, or is the state tends to be slower? So that's why I'm asking.
There were some early conversations about the city taking on that project, and in the end, it was decided that ODOT should deliver the project for various reasons around stormwater infrastructure risk, delivery to a legislative time frame, et cetera. So it's staying with ODOT. Yep.
No.
Okay. Quick question. I'm curious about the lost parking enforcement revenue item on the homelessness slide. Why is that
happening? So we've taken six of our parking enforcement officers that are dedicated to ticketing and towing RVs, and we don't get any revenue from that. So it's lost revenue from ticket citations that they would have otherwise generated.
And do those, I imagine those positions more than fund themselves. Okay.
So is there an ask then for additional capacity for parking enforcement?
We made a general fund ask to replenish those parking enforcement officers. So no, but not out of our general transportation or parking enforcement revenue, because I don't know if we've done an analysis of whether if we hired six more people it would make up for the cost of sending the six people over to the RV enforcement or not. Can you answer that?
Yeah, I would think Jeremy Penn again with PBOT. For the positions alone, just for the cost, they're probably on an average of $150,000 per position bringing in revenue. They'll bring in slightly more revenue than their costs, but at that point it's not a large amount in that margin between the cost of the position and the amount of revenue that the average revenue they bring in.
So you have your parking app now, Parking Kitty. Does that help address this problem?
It actually doesn't, because we still have to enforce the payment by the app. So they're enforcing whether people have paid parking or not.
So I'd like a deeper, not today, obviously, but I'd like a diaper. Jeez. I just don't
Help
even know where
out.
To go. I just don't even know where to go. I would like a deeper dive on this particular issue
sure.
for the executive budget. And I'm asking the question, should we be asking for additional parking enforcement? Thank you.
Will do. Thank you.
Anything else? We really want to end it on that? All right, folks. Thank you all. It's been a long, long morning and afternoon. Thank you. We are adjourned.
Thank you.
Woo-hoo, lunchtime.
So should I just meet you at your office?
Yeah.
We'll walk.